It's that time, the Betting Predators podcast, where our main objective is hunting down the best bets for you. I'm your host, Sleepy J. You guys can find me on Twitter at SleepyJ_pregame, joined here by the Golf Guru, golf expert, got Uncle Dave in the house. You guys can find him on Twitter as well at Dave_Essler. You guys could always get us at thebettingpredators.com and on the best sports betting information site on the web, pregame.com. All right, Uncle Dave, here we go. Another Tuesday, another golf podcast this week. We head to Muirfield Village Country Club in Dublin, Ohio for the Memorial Tournament. Last year's winner of this event was Billy Horschel. He returns this year to repeat as champion with 130-1 odds. Favorite for this event, Scottie Scheffler at 6-1. You guys know how we do this. Uncle Dave and I will go ahead. We'll cover our first round leaders, make and miss the cut, head-to-heads, top 40s through top 5s. And of course, Uncle Dave and I will go ahead and we'll give out our winners last week. Charles Schwab, not a bad week, but we didn't cash our big ticket that we had. We chalked it up as minus 6 or 7 units. So now we're just slightly above sea level on the season. But Uncle Dave, you wanted to go ahead and you want to talk a little bit about what we're experiencing this year versus the years past and just how important it is to kind of take note of the differences, you know, what we've done on this golf podcast.
For what, 2 straight years, we were up close to 200 units on the season. And, you know, I mean, that's the anomaly. I mean, you know, I think one of the reasons we're not, you know, gloating green this year yet is it's not easy. I mean, this year we just, you know, we haven't cashed the big ticket. You know, we've had some winners, we've had some first round leaders, but, you know, they haven't been the 80-1 guys. And truthfully, you know, it's different. And I don't know, maybe I haven't adjusted. I don't know. And now we have these designated events, and, you know, that brings out pretty much of a full field, which makes it a little more difficult to find value in longer shots. But it also takes the other tournaments and weakens them a little bit, which makes it even more harder to find that needle in a haystack guy. So it's kind of a different ballgame. So, I feel like we're getting our ass kicked, but we're not, mainly because of what we've done in the past. And, you know, I think the way it's set up now, we have to lower our expectations a little bit, and that's not to make an excuse for not being up 200 units. It's just it's set up to where the 80-1 or the 100-1 is truly a long shot anymore. Because, like I said, they're probably not going to do well in these designated events because those are full field events with, you know, big prize money. And the other ones, you know, they're all 50-1. You know, pick one. So, you know, I guess in the bottom line, I'm not upset with where we are, but it feels, like I said, like we're getting our ass kicked because we're not cashing those big, big tickets.
You know, Uncle Dave, I thought a lot about this, and I asked myself, you know, what other sport are you going plus 200 units in? Probably none. I mean, the only other sport that I could really think of, maybe if you're lucky, is probably something like NASCAR. But you're not doing this in football, basketball, baseball. It's just too hard if you don't have those big monster tickets. But then I started thinking, is there some type of a weird change that's going on? Because you and I, we kicked ass during the two COVID years. And then last year when the LIV got into the mix. And I just wonder if maybe there was just some kind of weird change going on, you know, why we didn't hit these big tickets. But, you know, go back through all the tournaments there, Uncle Dave. How many first round leaders have we had that were close? Well, that's kind of how you end up losing these bets all the time, is you end up close and you just don't get there. You know, we just so happen to handicap very well, I guess. But at the same time, you know, you're not going to hit those monster tickets each and every week. And maybe we were just really dialed in. There's obviously luck involved. You know that, Uncle Dave. Like, if a guy sticks down the middle of the fairway and a guy puts it in the bunker, there goes your ticket. So I think there is a little bit of luck involved. So I would say probably over the last couple of years, we've had some really good luck, but we've also had some really good handicaps. So I don't think our handicapping is down. I think it's kind of like the luck isn't necessarily going our way, but I think it's going to switch here sooner rather than later because we keep handicapping. I mean, we got guys like right on the fringe, you know, so I think we'll get there. Let's go ahead and let's start out with our first round leaders there, Uncle Dave. If this ticket cashes, we're going to make up a lot of units. And my first round leader is going to be Keith Mitchell. And that's 75-1. Mitchell, he's going to be rested coming into this one, but his first round scoring average is actually very good. He's like right now, he's like right around 15th. But Mitchell has experience here, and his two best outings here at Muirfield were his last two visits. He finished T22 and T18 last 2 years. Now, although I'm going to use Mitchell here at first round leader, I would suggest that you might consider going ahead and picking him in some type of picks to play. So I'll go ahead, Uncle Dave. Keith Mitchell, 75-1. I think he comes out strong. I think he comes out rested. And obviously, with the two good finishes he's had here recently, I think he's live to go ahead and be our first round leader. So that's what I got for first round leader.
I took Patrick Cantlay at 22-1, and I tried really hard not to do the obvious here. I mean, he's the third favorite to win for a lot of reasons. I mean, not only has he owned this course, but there's reasons. He's exceptional at driving accuracy, and he's fifth here in greens in regulation out of the rough when he does miss. He's been playing well. He's fourth in shots gained total, number one in driving, 16th in shots gained putting. He's only 10-1 to win. If you want to do that, I'm going to use him here. And I'm also going to bet him minus 190 to be in the top 20. I just don't see that not happening. And I noticed your boy Wyndham Clark had an early tee time, and I was going to leave that one for you. But I took Ricky Fowler, first-round leader, at 40-1. He also has an early tee time and should be high after recently qualifying for the British Open. You could probably bet the farm on him to be T30, which he's been in, I think, 9 of his last 11 events, or even higher. But I think you got to have Ricky on your card sometime this week.
All right, so here's what I was thinking, Uncle Dave. I said, if Uncle Dave mentions Wyndham Clark, first-round leader, then I'm going to ask him if we can kind of co-sign this one and give this out as a pick, because here's what I was thinking. I used Wyndham Clark on my card in a head-to-head, so I like him too. And I was thinking, I'm like, I wonder if Uncle Dave will give him out. And then if I give him out, because I'm like, do we end up with the situation where we're both giving out the same guy? So if you want to co-sign it, let's go ahead and let's give out Wyndham Clark. I didn't look at his odds. I'm guessing they're probably somewhere around 40-50-1 to be first round leader. But if you co-sign it, I'm with you. I'll stamp that one. We'll go ahead and give out Wyndham Clark too as a first round leader.
All right, fair enough. I'll look up what his odds are as of this moment. I know what they were, but I don't want to give out a wrong number here.
All right, so here's what we'll do. We'll go ahead and we'll co-sign that one together. And let me get into my head-to-head, and it involves Wyndham Clark. I'm going to take Wyndham Clark over last week's winner, Emiliano Grillo. And I'm not going to fall into that trap like I did last week with Michael Block. I knew that was a square pick, and I thought maybe the story would go well, and it clearly didn't. But Grillo just won last week, and thinking he's probably going to finish better than Wyndham Clark, to me, makes little sense here. Clark has been very good this entire season, and Clark will be rested, and he's coming off of an actual cut, which he hasn't done that in a while. Right now, he's golfing the best that he's ever had, and he's been here three times, and he's improved each and every time. This should be his best finish, I would think, in probably four tries here at Muirfield. Now, Grillo, give him credit for the win that he had last week, but I think he comes right back down to earth. Grillo, at this particular course, plenty of experiences and some good finishes, but he's fallen kind of off here at Muirfield the last four times that he's been here. He's been cut three times, and he had a finish of 30 seconds. So maybe he's just not liking this course a whole lot anymore. I'm not necessarily sure. But I think with him winning last week, his recent struggles here at this course, Wyndham Clark, the way that he's golfing this year, coming off of rest, I think Wyndham Clark minus 140 over last week's winner, Emiliano Grillo, is probably the way to go in the head-to-head. So that's why I wanted to go ahead and consider Wyndham Clark there, Uncle Dave. I'm like, well, I don't want to make this the Wyndham Clark podcast, but if Uncle Dave says his name, sure, I got to ask him if we can go ahead and co-sign first round leader.
Yeah, well, it's 50-1, so I guess we'll underscore that one.
All right, cool. Well, let's put that on our card there, guys, for another first round leader. We'll go ahead, we'll stamp Wyndham Clark 50-1. And if you guys remember, that was one of our monster tickets that we hit. You know, we were up those 200, 250 units. So hopefully he comes through, or one of the guys that Uncle Dave and I went ahead and gave out. So Uncle Dave, I'll let you go ahead with your head-to-heads. What do you got?
Yeah, I got a couple here. I like Jason Day plus 105 over Tyrrell Hatton, mainly because I like Day and I don't like Hatton. I mean, I know that's not a recipe for success, but, you know, Hatton's from the UK, and I don't think he'll do well in 4 days of heat. I mean, it's supposed to be around 90 and fairly sunny all 4 days. And Hatton has exactly one PGA Tour win and 118 starts. If you listen to the noise, you'd think he's the second tier of golfers, and I don't think he is. And I know that on any given day, but we're talking about Jason Day. So Day over Hatton. Justin Suh, EV over Adam Svensson. To be fair, I wanted him on my list of top 20s, etc. I do like Svensson in general. I do not like that Suh has played five straight weeks, but he does have three top 30s or better. He's still young. He's not long off the tee, and he's fairly accurate, and he is an elite putter. So those are two no-vig winners in the head-to-head, Sleepy.
All right, Uncle Dave, let's go ahead and let's jump into make and miss the cut. Now, I have a guy here on my sheet that you mention a lot.
Uh-oh.
And I was going to go ahead and let you go first to see if you're kind of thinking the same way that I'm thinking. So make and miss the cut. Do you have any this week?
I do. I better steal your guy. I mean, if I'm looking for a guy to make a cut that's not, you know, minus 1,200, then it's probably Keegan Bradley to make the cut. I and a lot of people I know have interest in him this week. Wanted to put him somewhere, we'll just put him there. I don't think 265 is on the line. If I'm looking for someone to miss the cut, I think it might be Kevin Streelman at plus 160. I mean, yeah, he's been on the leaderboard the last couple of tournaments. He's played in, but, you know, he might have outkicked his coverage, and he has missed seven cuts this year. So if I'm looking for one to miss, that's him. And tell me, Sleepy, is Keegan Bradley the guy?
He is not the guy, but you threw a complete monkey wrench into the entire podcast, and I'll let you know when we get further on down the card. So my make and miss the cut is going to be Brian Harman to miss the cut at plus 162. Harman hasn't been exactly great the last five or six tournaments. His best showing was a T7. I think that was about four tournaments ago. But he's been cut in four out of his last seven tournaments. And at this particular course, he's struggled. Five out of eight trips, he's been cut. If Harman doesn't putt well, he will be cut in this tournament. And what I'm seeing right now, stat-wise, his putting is actually falling off over the last five tournaments in a row. He did have a little bit of a decent one in there, but it's not normal Brian Harman type of putting where he's playing well. So right now his putting is not good. And another thing is, based off the entries and finishes at next week's event, the RBC Canadian Open, my gut feeling says that Harman might be looking forward to next week or the week after at the U.S. Open. I think this is one of those where maybe he's just being forced to get out there and go play. He's going to show up, but this particular course gives him a little bit of trouble, hasn't been playing well, and his putting's down. If he doesn't have a real good putting Thursday and Friday, he's not even going to see the weekend. So Uncle Dave, make and miss the cut, Brian Harman plus 162.
So why did I throw a monkey wrench into your plans?
Well, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to tell you, because in our top 40s through top 5s, I'm actually going to play Kevin Streelman, top 20 at 5-1. I actually think this one could happen, Uncle Dave. Streelman, look, he was struggling, and he could not find his putter. His accuracy was down with his irons and his driver, and it's no wonder that you can't even find a top 25 finish in like a year and a half for Kevin Streelman. But now Streelman's gone T18 and T9 the last two tournaments. But it's not just about the T18 and the T9. It's about the particular courses that he was on. Not easy places to go ahead and play. You're not going to go minus 26 on those courses. And a lot of that, Uncle Dave, was because of his putting, and his accuracy was way up. I think he actually found his game. And this course, he must like. He's been here like 15 times and has a ton of top 20 finishes. He actually has seven top 20 finishes here. So I'm feeling right now that his game is completely flipped over. It's in a really good place right now. And at this course, I think he believes he can actually hit the board. I wanted to go top 10 here, Uncle Dave, and I thought, you know what? I'm being a little bit greedy. Now this wager to me feels like the one that I actually like most on my card. So the fact that you're kind of against it makes me feel even better.
Huh. I love it. No, I looked at that, and, you know, that's another thing. You know, Streelman's not that young anymore. Getting into the summer, he's played a lot of golf lately. You know, does the closer to 40 than 30 thing catch up with him in 4 days? I mean, I don't know. You know, well, one of us will have bragging rights. It's that simple.
All right, so I wouldn't call it so much of a monkey wrench there, Uncle Dave, but I just wanted to let you know that we're, I guess, kind of up on opposite sides of that one. So what do you got for your top 40s through top 5s?
I want to throw in a top Asian first. I took Hideki plus 300 to be top Asian, and I was kind of between him and Sung Jae Im, unless you want to go for longer shots. But he's had 2 weeks off, and Sung Jae Im has missed the cut the last two times. Could he turn it around? Of course. But he's actually got lower odds than Hideki, who's obviously not on the leaderboard every week because he's not playing all that often. But I don't think Sanjay should be favored over Hideki, which is essentially what they're saying. So although I did like him, but then I looked at his recent form, and, you know, it's not pretty. So I took Hideki as top Asian. And if we get into my top 20s and whatnot, I have my usual plethora. I took Shane Lowry, top 10 at plus 400. He's 15th in driving accuracy, and that is a big stat this week. His very good stats at this course out of the rough, which is one of the longer roughs other than U.S. Open and PGA. He's 45-1 to win. I'm not sure he can. He could. I didn't bet it. He hasn't won this year. He's had just one top 10, but he was 12th at the PGA and 16th at the Masters. You know, those are your money tournaments, and this one being a designated event, I took him top 10 at plus 400. Adam Hadwin, I took him top 30 at plus 175. I wanted to bet him 110-1 to win. Very accurate off the tee. He's great at scrambling, which is going to help here. He's a well above average putter. Actually, he's 12th in total putting. He's not long off the tee, but I think accuracy is more important this week. He's not going to beat himself. So I put him top 30 at plus money. With his 7-12 tee time, I'm probably going to use him 80-1 as a first-round leader as well. Moving right along, who else did I take? Let me flip my screen here. Sahith Theegala, who was fifth here last year, but his driving accuracy issues, which I don't like for this course, but a price of top 20 at plus 200 for a guy that hasn't missed a cut since last October and hits two-thirds of the greens, I had to. I took Victor Hovland, top 5, plus 400. I think this is going to be boom or bust. His finishes here haven't been elite, but he did finish third here in 2020 in a Workday charity event. His short game keeps me from taking him to win. But if he's even in the top 30 after Friday, I love his chances. And those were my top guys today. One I haven't used that I want to, well, there's actually a lot, but one of the ones I haven't used that I want to somewhere is Ryan Fox. Put him somewhere. I had him top 20 last week at plus 320 or plus 350. I can't remember. And one stroke, he was T21. Kind of screwed me there. But I think he's still flying under the radar. And his talent, the price is not reflective of his talent. So those are my top guys for now. I do like more, and I'll probably tweet them out. But that's where I'm at as of, Tuesday afternoon at 4 o'clock Eastern time.
You know, and Uncle Dave, I went ahead and I listened to some of the things. I don't know if we talked offline or if it was on the podcast. So it's probably the podcast. But I went ahead and I used your boy there, Ryan Fox, in my DraftKings fantasy lineup. Actually did pretty well last week with that. I do have a question for you, Uncle Dave, because I might have missed it. You mentioned Theegala, and I don't know if you said top 30 or top 20. Do you have top 20 or top 30 and a price on that?
Theegala was top 20 plus 200.
All right, so Sahith Theegala, top 20 plus 200. Let's go. Let's jump into our winners. Uncle Dave, I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to take Sahith Theegala 55-1 to go ahead and win this thing. I swear, you know what we got to do, Uncle Dave? We got to bring in another body because we only have, like, what, Uncle Dave, 115 guys to pick from, and it's somehow, some way. It's like we kind of end up on the same exact path. So Sahith Theegala for me, 55-1. I like the rest week for him. I think we have to start factoring rest now, Uncle Dave, more than we probably ever did with golf. You know, the PGA is kind of pushing these players to play a whole hell of a lot more, and we're starting to see much deeper fields each and every week, you know, this entire season. Many of these players that are in this field this week, you know, they're in their fourth, fifth week in a row golfing. Theegala was off last week, and I think many of these golfers, you know, who are in the field this week, you know, that they probably will take the week off next week at the Canadian Open, gearing up for the U.S. Open. Theegala has been here twice and was T5 here last season. Theegala hasn't been cut since October, like Uncle Dave, October of 2022, and he's had 6 top 10 finishes. My gut feeling says he's knocking on the door for his first win, and it's going to come rather soon, and I think this week actually sets up great for him. One of the things about Theegala, after a mediocre tournament, he tends to bounce right back. But if you give him 2 mediocre tournaments in a row, he always bounces right back. You cannot find 3 mediocre tournaments. And I'm talking, you know, let's just say like 35th and 40, somewhere in that range. You can't find 3 tournaments where he's done that in a row. And you got to go all the way back to like 2021 to find him struggling like that much in a tournament. So I don't think that happens this week. I think he bounces back 100% live here, Uncle Dave. Sahith Theegala, it's going to be my lone winner here at 55-1. But Uncle Dave, I wanted to give myself a little buffer with him too. And I could play him top 5 at plus 850. again, like last week, like I did with Fleetwood, and that didn't come in. And I wanted to give myself a little bit of a buffer. And I felt, you know, last week, I think it was Fleetwood was 5-1, but Thigala's plus 850. So I had to plug that one in. So I'll give you guys that. So Sahith Thigala for me to go in and win 55-1 there, Uncle Dave. What do you got?
One of these guys isn't going to surprise you. Jason Day at 28-1. I mean, how can I not? I know Rom, Scotty, yada, yada, yada. Day 6th in shots gained total, 11th tee to green, 13th in putting, 22nd in shots gained approach. If he hits fairways, he's going to win. I love his group. I forget who he was paired with. It's an early tee time, I think, Thursday. But he would probably, I mean, I think he might be with Rom and somebody other, some other elite golfer, but he would probably be the, you know, the sort of lesser name of, he's not a lesser name, but of the three. So I think he plays early with no pressure. I tip one flyer, one haymaker, I guess, if you will. Russell Henley at 45-1. I mean, he was cut at the PGA, but a lot of good golfers were cut at the PGA. So I'm going to actually use that as an outlier. He was 16th last week and 4th at the Masters. I mean, there's a reason he's 45-1, though. He's not an ideal putter. But what he is the most accurate driver on tour, and he's not awful on approach shots. Last week, actually, he did gain shots putting by a decent amount, so I think his form is pretty good under the radar. I mean, I'll take a bite. I think he can get out with a good start with a good early tee time. He's paired with Kuchar and Lanto Griffin, so he could be my middle-of-the-road flyer. But, you know, Sleepy, to be fair, it's a designated event. The purse is 2.5 or 3 times normal. I mean, I think the winner's $3.5 million, and you know, the average, you know, non-designated event, non-major, it's like $1.5 million. So I do think the winner will not be someone surprising. And if I'm betting a favorite, it's Rory at 12-1. I mean, there's just too many good golfers for somebody, I think, to sneak in there with those bomber odds. I mean, you know, I think that gets back to what we talked about in the beginning. And I think the fields are flipped. I mean, they're either too good, so you're not going to get a lot of value. You're not going to, I mean, you're going to get value, but you're not going to get your 100-1 guys. And then we have the other tournaments where there's lots of 100-1 guys, and you just can't pick them all. So these designated events are easier in some sense because I can pick a lot of guys I think will probably do well and make a little money, but I don't look at them as the ones that we're going to get our 200-unit seasons on. I mean, as I said that, you know, probably Adam Hadwin will win at 110-1. I didn't take him, but I don't. I mean, he's 110-1 for a reason. He's not the 110th worst golfer in the world, but you know how it is. I mean, it gets top heavy for the first 8 or 10 guys, and I'm afraid that probably those first 8 or 10 guys, one of them is probably going to win.
Well, hopefully we end up having a winner out of all the guys that we gave out, Uncle David. It'd be nice to go ahead and start cashing those big tickets again. You know, it's funny, we didn't mention, you know, we didn't really talk at all about Scheffler or John Rahm, guys like that. And what worried me, Uncle Dave, was that the U.S. Open's coming up. And sometimes I think that they're going to do a walkthrough, but I don't think any of these top golfers are going to be in the Canadian Open next week. So they might be gunning for a win this week. And that's kind of what worries me, is that, like what you just said, like you've got to kind of think that these guys, these top guys, guys like Rory, you know, Justin Thomas, Xander, that those guys are going to show up. And that's what worries me, you know, when you're going ahead and you're picking out your card, that it could end up being like this top heavy tournament where all the top guys stealing all these places. And then you end up with, you know, a card like we've had a couple times this year where, you know, you end up down, you know, a handful of units and you're kind of like, damn, I wish I took, you know, the top guys. But, you know, give credit where credit's due. Scheffler is golfing great right now. I think he's the world's number one. I wouldn't be shocked if he goes out and wins, but I actually considered playing him, Uncle Dave, to miss the cut this week, only because I know that he's been golfing a lot recently, and I had a gut feeling like he needs like a week off. But you know, when you're as good as that dude, you know, it's sometimes you probably just enjoy going out there playing golf, making a ton of money, you know, being known as the world's number one golfer. It's, you know, it's great for your brand. Like, I don't think you want to take off too much time, but we'll see. So there's our picks for the week. Hopefully we do well for the Memorial. You guys know where to find Uncle Dave and I on Twitter at @SleepyJ_pregame, @Dave_Essler. And you guys could always get us at thebettingpredators.com and on the best sports betting information site on the web, pregame.com. With that said, I'd like to wish you guys all the best of luck. Enjoy the games.